This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11:02 in the greatest city in the world. It's Alan Han. Bart Scott off today. So we go Han Solo for you today. A little buffet action right out of the gate. 800-919-3776 is the number. And of course, you can get us on social media at Bart and Han on Twitter, Instagram, and any other place that you
Snap
might.
Snapface, Instant Chat, or whatever.
Yeah, whatever you got on social media. But it's just you and me and you today. Bar a little busy, so we'll give him the day. We got Jay Williams coming up at noon, like always. Jets guest a little bit later on in this hour as well. Talk to a Jets player, see what the hell's going on in that locker room at 0-6. But we got a lot to talk about because we have a World Series beginning tonight. The Rays and the Dodgers. Baseball's a radio sport. Can I just be honest? It's a radio sport. Unless Michael Kay's calling a Yankees game, it's a radio sport. Okay? I mean, come on. When your team's not playing in the World Series, are you watching the World Series? You're watching a Super Bowl. You know, you'll watch an NBA Finals because it's a star-driven league. You might even watch the Stanley Cup Finals because it's the damn cup, man. But where are we at with the World Series at this point? Like, as a Yankees fan, I can't stomach watching the Rays. You can't. You know, and then the Dodgers are the Dodgers. I mean, it's like they're basically the other version of Yankees that spend a ton of money, and it's been a while for them, a long, long time. They are the favorites to win this thing, plus 220. And so you imagine that this is going to be their year. So I'll tell you what, I'll probably put it on when it's a clinching game.
Or asking but am I, for a piece of metal back.
Yeah, that's what they call the trophy, piece of metal. Thanks, Rob. I mean, that's the value of your championship, piece of metal. But I just like, are you watching the World Series? You're a diehard baseball fan. Of course you are. You're engaged. You love your sport. 100%. The first sport I ever loved was baseball. First sport I ever loved was baseball. I used to score games like a kid when I was a kid. I watched it. I absorbed it. I loved it. Loved watching everything. And the game's not the same. I'm the old man, you know, screaming at a cloud. Whatever you want to say, get off my lawn. You want to give me the boomer thing? Go ahead and give me the boomer thing. It's not the game I watch. It's not my game anymore. It's not. I can't help it, but that's just how it is. You can say the same thing about the NBA. Nah, shut up. You can say the same thing about the NBA. Say the same thing. That's not the game anymore. Everything's now just spread, high screen roll, three-pointers, layups or dunks. Nobody plays any defense. I get it. I'm the same way. It's hard to watch. But baseball, it's just, you've got now, I said this yesterday, it's still an amazing stat. The Dodgers this year led the majors in home runs. When was the last time a team that led the majors in home runs, and by the way, you know that right now, the analytics people will tell you, it ain't about base hits, it ain't about getting on base, it's not about the action on the base paths, no. Don't worry about the shift. Hit over the shift. It's all about home runs and strikeouts. Lots of strikeouts, that's okay because we'll get some power and you hit home runs and that's good. When was the last time the team that led the majors in home runs made the World Series? Not won it, made it. I said it yesterday, so if you're listening, you would know. At Barton Hunt, tell me. You know what? I'll tell you anyway. The 09 Yankees. 11 years. So you're telling me that in the last decade, we've learned that hitting home runs, hitting over the shift, not getting on base, not wasting your time with base hits and bunts into the, you know, whatever it is, stealing bases, all that stuff. The action that makes baseball fun to watch. The last decade told us that's not how you play the game anymore. But the entire decade went by, and not a single team that led the majors in home runs made the World Series, let alone reach it. And you're going to continue to tell me that this is the way to play the game now. This is the right way to play. I don't know. I don't agree. Boring. It's boring. No fun. That's where you're at. I'll probably watch if I know the Dodgers are going to clinch. If I hear the Rays are going to clinch, I'm definitely not watching. But that's just preference because I don't like that team. Period. That's just how it is. But baseball's a game to listen to on the radio. Unfortunately, we have it right here on 98.7 ESPN. Full coverage. So this is where you need to be. Put it on, go in the garage, work on the car, you get a project. I got a dining room table I want to sand down, refinish it, that kind of stuff. Put it on the background. Now you hear it, you're listening, a little something in the background, it's nice. So just turn on 98.7 tonight and listen to the game and get some stuff done instead of sitting there for 3 hours watching a guy throw to a guy and another guy step in and step out and step in and step out and choose when he wants to swing and everybody else just stands there watching with nobody in the crowd. Or a handful of people, I should say. That's what they'll get tonight. So that's baseball. That's what you got tonight. You got a World Series. Now, I don't mean to dump on it, but that's the sport right now. That's what it is. That's what it is. And you had somebody like me who was passionate about your sport, and you lost me. I'm only passionate now when my team's in it. You've made me a regional fan. Congratulations. And that's on you. Don't put it on me. That's on you. Meanwhile, the NFL is its own monster, which dominates ratings all the time. What happened last night, Monday Night Football? The Cowboys got completely embarrassed. They've got skill all over the place, and they don't have their starting quarterback, but Andy Dalton is not a scrub. He sure looked like one, though. They looked really bad, and they got blown out by the Cardinals. Their defense, not good. Their offense couldn't get anything done. And now what you have is this bizarre situation with Dallas Cowboys leading the division at 2-4. And the more incredible thing is they're not even – this is the football power index that ESPN has, where they use a lot of stats and analytics and everything else to forecast what the season's going to be. They're not even the team with the best percentage to win the damn division. And oh, by the way, I won't even tell you the team. I'm just going to tell you that there's a team that is projected to get the most wins out of the four NFC East teams. And the most wins they're projected to get is 6.1. That's a 6-10 record to win the division. And that would be the Eagles. They have a 54% probability to win the division, and their win projection is 6.1. So you're telling me that the NFC East is going to have a team that likely could be 6-10 and win the division, which would be an embarrassment to the league. Not that the league cares, but it kind of makes you think about format now, right? Because we all made a big deal in 2010 about the Seahawks going 7-9 and winning that division. And then, of course, having a home game on top of it where New Orleans was 11-5. Everybody knows this story. New Orleans had a great season. They had to go all the way to Seattle, and then they lose in that game. Seattle moves on to division series, then they lose. They lost to the Bears. But the fact that they were 7-9 and won the division, everybody made a big deal. But the first time in a non-strike season that a team made the playoffs with a losing record. And then a couple of years later, Carolina did it in the NFC South at 7-8-1. They had that stupid tie. A bunch of teams have gone 8-8 and won their division, or 8-8 and made the playoffs. That happens. 8-8, at least you're 500. 7-9. You're a losing team, and you win your division, and you get a home bid in the obviously in the wild card round. You get a home bid.
Well, there it is.
Did he really just say?
Major disappointment.
Embarrassing. But could you imagine a scenario, and you can because it's actually real now, that we're 6 weeks going into week seven, where the combined winning percentage in one division is under 300. Like, think about that. You're under 300. You've got teams that everybody's got one win, and Dallas has two. They're all going to start playing each other now, and that's what kind of makes right now pretty interesting. You've got the Giants and the Eagles Thursday night. Short week for both teams, obviously. And it's going to be, I mean, you think about this game now all of a sudden. And I'm not even, I'm not going to be the guy that's going to try to convince you that the Giants can pull off some miracle. They're not ready. We know this. They're not ready. I like what Joe Judge is doing, but I'm not going to go that far and talk about how, the Giants quit the division. Stop it. The Giants are projected to win less than four games this season. Okay, that's so no, there's not a lot of expectations about them, and that's fine. All you want to know is by the end of the year that they're trending up, they're showing you something, that Joe Judge is showing you something. That's great. But this game on Thursday, if you're the Eagles, this game's everything. Like, these games, you play the Eagles play the Giants twice in the next 3 weeks, and the Cowboys in between. The Eagles could basically turn their season around and take a stranglehold on a division that nobody seems to want to win, and then finish the year off like they did last year. They kind of made a push late last year after a bad start. They're doing it again this year. But now here comes the caveat that I thought was the most amazing thing. When you look at the Eagles and where they are right now, you have to ask yourself, do they want to win? They're in a weird place. The trade deadline's November 3rd. They're projected next year to be over the cap by almost, $69 million? They've got a lot of decisions to make. And if they wanted to, they could probably move a bunch of guys that you know, by the trade deadline. Like, they might be looking to just dump off some players here. They've got to figure it out. I mean, you've got DeSean Jackson, $11 million. Alshon Jeffery at $18 million. You've got, you know, they've got issues that they've got to figure out. And so are they looking to sell or buy? They need a linebacker. I mean, they're looking to buy or sell before the trade deadline because the division's there to be had for them. The next 3 weeks can change everything for them. This division is so bizarre right now. Who wants to win? Washington doesn't want to win. You know what Washington wants? Washington wants the Jets to win because then Washington has a chance to get their quarterback of the future. All of a sudden, they become part of the conversation of a team that could be all in on Trevor Lawrence. If anybody's rooting for the Jets to win, it's Washington at this point. Because there's no ambition for them to win. I know what Rivera said. He went for two against the Giants because for him, he's thinking, oh yeah, I got to teach you how to win. So you got to play to win, to learn how to win. That is absolute crap. You know what that is? That's code for, yeah, we didn't want to waste our time with overtime. Let's get out of here with the L. It'll be better for us. Builds character. It also gives us a better chance to get the quarterback because clearly he doesn't 100% believe in Dwayne Haskins. Kyle Allen is not the answer long term. And then, of course, Alex Smith's a great story. But no one's expecting Alex Smith at his age and what he's been through to go back to being a starting quarterback again. Washington is in the market for a quarterback, and they're going to be looking to win that draft and get the number one pick. And the only way to do it is to be worse than the Jets. And how could you possibly be worse than the Jets? That's what's like. Thursday's game is mind-boggling. Like, if you're Joe Judge, you're thinking to yourself, what do the Eagles really want? Because they are better than you. They are. When they get their heads right and they do, like, they're better. Their games this year have been weird. I mean, that tie with the Bengals out of the gate, yeah, this is just one of those week one, we're not really ready for the season type games. Maybe took them too lightly. They beat the 49ers, which might not look too impressive like to some people because you consider the 49ers got their wins over the Jets and Giants. But they just had a good win this last week over the Rams. They lose to Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, which everybody does that. Pittsburgh's beaten everybody. So how do you really make a big deal about that game? Then the Baltimore game, you come back 22 points in the fourth quarter, and you have a chance. You lose by two. You go for two. I mean, it's there against the Ravens. You do push back against them. So the Eagles haven't been completely chumped this year. They just have had some issues. But these next 3 weeks, you got the Giants twice, and then the Cowboys in between. You know, you could look at it the other way. Well, the Giants have the Eagles twice. The Eagles are the team in this division. If anybody is going to win this division, your money goes on the Eagles. Your money has to go on the Eagles. But can they get to seven wins? Six wins could win this division. In fact, that's what it's projected to do. That's just bizarre. And that's what starts off your week 7 in the NFL. And that, of course, will be Thursday night on Thursday Night Football. Now, on the Jets side of things, a couple of things. Number one, there's one trade request out there right now that is going to be an interesting one. This was a name that was tied to the Jets in the offseason. I don't think there's reason to make a move now. But you remember the first-round pick, John Ross, the guy who was at the 4.2 speed in the combine? Wide receiver. He's kind of small, about 5'11", but just a burner. He was taken ninth overall in 2017 by Cincinnati. And he just, between injuries and just really hasn't been consistent in and out of the lineup, he asked for a trade. Now, Cincinnati reportedly was trying to trade him in the offseason. Nothing really happened there. He's just not getting his opportunity. And you have a real quarterback, and this Burrow can play. And they just don't have a reason to use him. Is it worth it to the Jets because they just don't have enough weapons to make a move there if you can get him for relative cheap? Because Cincinnati didn't pick up his fifth-year option, so he's pretty much 1 year and he's done. John Ross is a burner. You know, you add him to some speed. You hope to get Mims back in the next couple of weeks, another guy that's supposed to be fast, but you haven't seen what he can be yet. And obviously, you know, Bashard Perriman's pretty fast too. But I just think the Jets need as many weapons as they can get. Do you look at this again? Do you give it a chance? Of course, depending on what it takes. So that's something to keep an eye on. But another thing that caught my attention, again, 800-919-3776, is, we'll get the calls lining up here in a minute. I'll grab them in a minute. Is a report, let me call it up here right now, that I found to be very interesting from Dan Graziano. And he put up a latest buzz on NFL coaching and front office jobs on ESPN.com. And he said something that, if you're a Jets fan, take a listen. Graziano says, someone involved in the shaky Adam Gase Jets marriage says his job has not been considered a week-to-week thing internally. That might not matter as change seems inevitable, but it could happen later than many expect. This is for all the people out there that are like, Gase should be fired today. Gase shouldn't coach another week. You know, why is he still our coach? All that stuff, right? And Gase is sitting there trying to explain himself and what he's trying to do. And I'll play you something in a minute that he said, a little bit of shade at Greg Williams. But Graziano goes on to say, one league executive pointed out that the Jets might even be better off letting Gase finish out the misery over 16 games for a few reasons. One, this isn't a roster that will ignite a winning streak anyway. A mini tank might aid quarterback positioning, obviously. Also said a natural interim option would be Greg Williams, whose relationship with the current staff appears tenuous. You know, Greg Williams obviously was saying what he was saying on Friday and causing some disruption inside. So the Jets are hoping to show some type of an offense once you get Mims back, with Sam Darnold coming back from the shoulder, Bashard Perriman now healthy playing as well. But there is not really a lot of belief that anything's going to change here as the Jets get healthy on offense, because it just looks like nobody's safe is absolutely right. So it seems like the inevitable is going to happen, but all of you who are waiting for an Adam Gase to be fired during the season type scenario, Graziano's here to tell you, like a lot of us believe, it's probably not going to happen. So settle in with this team and either just shut down until the season's over, or watch the young players hoping to see something that makes you believe that no matter who's coaching next year, the cupboard isn't as bare as it seems at 0-6. Now listen to this from Gase, who talked about what he saw in yet another ugly loss, which was this Sunday against the Dolphins. And listen to the very first thing he says too. A little bit of shade here. Listen.
We started out rough on defense, but you know, when you go look at it as a whole, the way that really after that third touchdown, how our guys played, that's something we definitely need to build off of.
You heard that at the beginning, right? Start off slow on defense. A little shot at Greg Williams. Now, obviously, the defense got a lot better in the second half for the Jets, but it didn't matter because they couldn't score at all. But the defense wasn't very good against Fitzpatrick early on in that game. And then in the second half, you saw some plays from the defense. They did adjust, but offensively, they've been a disaster. But it is funny how it was the first thing that he would point out, right? The first thing he points out is that, hey, the defense didn't look good either. Listen, man. Focus on your offense. Plenty there to keep you busy. 800-919-3776 is the number. So coming up also, as I mentioned, so we had some Monday night games and the Chiefs and the Bills. The Bills, they're still a very good team. The Jets have to play the Bills this week after getting smoked in week one against them. Josh Allen not happy with his performance of late, saying he's got to be better. So you're curious to see what kind of performance you're going to get out of him against the Jets on Sunday. What a tale of two teams that at one time were both rebuilding at the same time, both drafted a quarterback in the same quarterback draft, and one way ahead of the other, mainly because, well, let's be honest, they built it properly at the line of scrimmage. They got skill, and the quarterback has been developed well. Head coach knows what he's doing. Coordinators know what they're doing. That defense is fantastic. The Bills did it right when they did their rebuild. The Jets, they're still rebuilding. Before I get to Andy Reid and a couple of calls, I never really, like, it's been a while. Like, I've kind of learned, like, the whole Twitter thing is just, Twitter is to be read and not really, you don't really reply. You know what I mean? Like, you just put up some stuff and you make a couple of comments. But for the most part, it's like to dive into the murky waters of replies and comments is sort of just, it's not worth it sometimes. But there's certain people that just need, you know, they just need a fresh one. And so we got one today, everybody. Anybody want to join in on this, please? At Will Pons Must Sell, which is a very unfortunate now, outdated Twitter handle. Just very, very upset that I wasn't excited about the World Series, because I'm not. It's regional, and I'm regional. I'm a Yankees fan. The last World Series I watched closely was when the Cubs and Indians were playing, because one of them was going to end a streak, and that was interesting to me. Before that, it was the Mets, because it's a New York team, that matters to me. But if it's not going to be the Yankees or Mets, and it's not going to be a compelling matchup, can't really get into it. Honestly, just can't. I mean, I got to admit, I did watch the Nationals and the Astros last year because I wanted to see the Astros lose. You know, little things like that. Like, that's sort of what it's about. But this is not one. The Rays are a team that just annoys me more than anything. I'm not excited about the Rays. There's nothing fun about watching a parade of nameless, faceless relievers going through the game. There's nothing fun about that. Sorry. Dodgers are interesting. They have stars. It's interesting. But I'll watch if they're about to clinch. I'm just being honest. And you're going to say, I don't hate it. It's not my game anymore. It's not the game that I loved when I grew up. It's not fun. There's not a guy. I love Ricky Henderson. I love Vince Coleman. When guys went on first base and the pitcher was all triggered because he had no idea when the guy was about to take second, that the lead was there and he's dancing around, he's messing with your head. Yeah, that was fun. That kind of stuff is fun. You know, strikeouts are nothing. Home runs are nothing. That ain't fun. So that's the point. But he's getting all upset. So I just replied, because he brought up the Knicks for some reason. Like, what does that mean, anything? And he's like, well, that I don't understand how it is to be a loyal fan. I'm unfamiliar with the concept of sticking with a team in a losing season.
Well, there it is.
Diehard fan.
Did he really just say?
Major disappointment.
Yeah, I don't understand what it's like to stick with a team. Falling from six to eight, so that's just a kick in the crotch. Yeah, just that. All right, there's that. There's that, and then there's the fact that I'm a freaking Jets fan. All right, if I have to do it, like, you could say, well, you paid to do the Knick thing. Okay, fine. I'm not paid to do the Jets thing, and I do it. I watched Josh Allen play Wyoming football on Saturday nights like an idiot for an entire season. Who the hell watches Wyoming football? Who? Only their parents watch. I'm watching that because I think he could be the Jets quarterback, and I need to know everything about him. But I don't understand the concept, though, of being a diehard fan. Then, of course, he said, neglecting baseball, football, and hockey when you have a talk show is a bad look. Everybody, join in this, please. Please.
Are you kidding me? Think about what you're saying.
At Will Pons Must Sell. Attack. Because this is insane. Do I not talk football? We talk football all the time. We love football. I love football. It's the best. I brought football back. And hockey? If it's not, if not for myself, Don LaGreca, and Rick DiPietro, would hockey ever be uttered on these airwaves? Ever. But it's all right. We neglect all these things, and all I ever do is talk Knicks. Love it. By the way, I'm loving the suggestions for the interception that Marcus May made with his butt. We have the buttception. Alec, well done. Matthew says the glute grab. Brian goes with the butt grab, which, phrasing. I mean, that's one that, you know, again, these days, you don't want to just say that. So it's, anyways, that much is fun. Quickly, take a listen to Andy Reid when he was asked about Le'Veon Bell, who didn't play last night, but he did use Bart's phrase saying that he can't wait to join his new team. And here's Andy Reid on that.
We don't turn away good players, and he's a good one. So it's exciting to have him around, and we'll see how he does. He's got to get in and get in the playbook and learn everything, but he's a pretty smart kid and been doing it a long time. So I don't think I'll have a problem with that. But I think if you talk to Clyde will sleep well tonight, as I think the other backs will. That one more guy, I don't think any of them will complain there.
I mean, did it just get dark in here? Did you see that? Like, where did that shade come from? We don't turn away good players. Yikes. Ouch. Let's see how he does with the Chiefs. Oh, Phil's upset. No, it's not Phil. It's actually Alex. If you think the Rays are boring, you don't watch baseball at all. No, never. Especially not Yankees Rays. Never watch them at all. Not at all. I know all about them. Yes, they are the one team that does play a little small ball. Yes, they get on the bases and they actually do some things. Totally true. You're absolutely right. But outside of Glasnow, I mean, Blake Snell's a phony. I mean, in big games, when it matters most, phony. Okay, Glasnow is a talent. He's a stud. Other than that, not really excited about the Rays, okay? Just being honest. Like, what do you want me to lie? All right, Alex. I'm sorry, Alex. You're right. It's so much fun to watch baseball. It's just, I can't contain myself. The 30 minutes between every single pitch, like, I'm just on the edge of my seat. What's he going to throw next? Let me watch it 6 times. Please. Dempsey's in the Bronx. Dempsey.
Han Solo. You guys and Bart especially have made me fall in love with the duo. I've been here since the very beginning, since Han and Humpty, baby. Appreciate so you're my guy, but I'm always a big fan of a Han Solo day.
Thank you, man.
So it is a Han Solo day, so we got to talk the Knicks, right?
Go ahead.
Really quick, I think I've seen on Twitter over the last month, there's about a factions of the Knicks, it's about 50-50. 50% are on board with the CP3 trade and bringing in that and bringing in somebody, and then the other 50% are like, God, no, please keep some depth, keep the young players, don't sell like we always do, and I'm on that road. I do not want
So you don't
to
want to see, all right, so you all right, so you're all about just continuing to collect draft picks and knowing that your cap space, no one wants to use it. So you're going to give it to players like, you know, what you just had, one plus option types who are just here for the money for a year and then they're going to be gone. Like, you don't really want to go find You don't want to trade for a player who's already under contract that's actually a top 10 player. You don't want any of that, right?
No. And I did say before that I was a big fan of Fred VanVleet, so I'm not completely against
Fred VanVleet. Why would he? But again, Dempsey, why is, first of all, again, what you got to understand, a lot of the top players, especially those who are in their first attempt at free agency, they're not coming to the Knicks as the Knicks are currently constructed. They're not.
Look, I agree with
so
you.
So why? Like, what? Give me the one reason why Fred VanVleet would pass on a max from Toronto to come to the Knicks.
Well, I heard a lot of different things that I'm not necessarily 100% on the Raptors giving him a max and everything. And all players, all NBA players, in my opinion, you're either going after two things. You're either going after money or you're going after a championship. Mm-hmm. He already got the championship. I know it's a long shot, but I'm looking at, oh, he's got his championship. He's got his ring. I'm sure he wants more. But
I see it. I'm just being Dempsey.
I can see them outbidding them.
If you're Toronto, it doesn't make sense with Lowry as old as he is. Now, Dempsey, I appreciate you. I forgot to ask Jay Will, though, that question of the previous call Dempsey had asked about, which is the Fred VanVleet stuff. I just don't see a fit. That's it. I don't see a fit. But plenty more time. We got tons of time to talk about all that stuff. As the NBA offseason doesn't even begin until after the draft, which is enough for another month. And you might not see the league till February. It's going to be a bit. So you've got Jets and Giants. You've got the World Series, which will be over this week, or next week, I should say. They have a couple of days off in between. But you basically have that. Then you have NFL, and then we have nothing. Once the Super Bowl, like, will there? Here's the question. When we have a Super Bowl, will we have spring training or NBA training camp? Which would come first? Because you, right now, you have no idea with these other sports. All right. Let's now, as there's some interesting stuff that came from Rod Manfred today in Audio Files.
The Audio File.
But before we get to that, we go back to the Jets and the NFL. Sam Darnold with his weekly spot on the Michael Kay Show. And Don LaGreca asked a very fair question, asked a very obvious question, something you should ask. Is it fair for them to question the coaching of this team?
But is it fair for us to question the coaching if the coaching is good enough? Because it can't all be on the players, Sam, can it?
I mean, you know, as a player, you know, we all look each other in the mirror, and the coaches do the same thing. You know, we all look in the mirror and say, what can we do better? Because at the end of the day, the competitor in us, you know, we've all made it to the NFL. So we understand, you know, the ownership that it takes to get to this level. And coaches are doing their best to better themselves every single week, and so are the players. And again, as a player, it's just, it's about going out there and executing the plays that are called and executing the game plan. And that's it. And if players get caught up in other things, and then you just start worrying about the wrong things. And, you know, you don't want to do that because you go down a dark path.
All right, that's not a no, right? Like, that's not a no. That's basically him just saying that's not something we can focus on. It's essentially what he's doing there. Like, he's not, there's no defending anyone there. There's no, nothing. He's just saying, as players, you can't go down that road. If the coach sucks, that's for you guys to talk about, not us. Like we've just got to do what we're told until there's another coach who tells us what to do. It's essentially where they are. I mean, that's it. And this kid. All you, I'm telling you, everybody out there just wants to just dump him and move on to Trevor Lawrence. I get it. Trevor Lawrence is the next shiny toy, and there's a lot of people excited about his ability. Watch him in college, because we're all going to start doing that now. And, I mean, he just tore apart a Georgia Tech team that couldn't cover anyone. His receivers were wide open. Now, I'm not taking the talent away, because a couple of years ago, he was fantastic in the championship. So, you know, this kid's made of some stuff. But again, it's going to be the chicken and egg. It's going to be the balance. This is going to be the ultimate debate for Jets fans. Is if they do end up having the worst record, and they do end up with the number one pick, the argument is going to be about, do you use that pick to do like sort of what Jimmy Johnson did back in the 90s with Dallas and get a whole bunch of picks and assets to help rebuild your team, saying, I got the quarterback who is, to us, good enough. Now I got all these other assets to get all the skill around him, and now you can really go somewhere with this team quickly. You accelerate, you advance the cause. Or do you say, no. You make this pick, you take this kid, and he's going to change all your fortunes. Because I still think, no matter how good you are as a quarterback, you still need some talent around you. But that's going to be an argument for another day, if we get there. All right, meanwhile, let's get to baseball. So first and foremost, one of the big stories with the Dodgers is not just their home run hitting. It's the fact that they have Clayton Kershaw, who has been to the show, has been in the you know, has been to the biggest game of his life and doesn't always come through. And that is something that has been a concern. In the playoffs, 10 years, 19 series, he has a losing record as a starter. And his ERA is over 4. This is a guy who's one of the great pitchers in the history of, in his generation. And postseason has not been kind to him. So here's Clayton Kershaw. As the older he gets, the more he learns from these past failures, and of course, some success as well.
I think every year is different. You know, obviously, postseason, you have that experience to draw on. So I'm just trying to, you know, learn from that as best you can. But, you know, at the same time, every year is different. Every team is different. The Rays are a different team than the Astros and the Red Sox. And, you know, I'm going to prepare like I always do and be as ready as I can be and excited about another opportunity to get it done.
Are we almost rooting for him at this point? Is it pretty much like only the only thing left to see him do is, can he win a championship and do so by winning a critical game, having a clutch performance in the World Series, and the Dodgers winning the World Series and letting him kind of put that cherry on top of what has been a great career? Are we rooting for that? Or are we like, I saw your commercial. The guy that like, you jump in a car to chase down a fly ball, it's a home run. It was out of the stadium. What are you doing in the car? I get it. You're selling tires, but let's be honest. What a bad concept of a commercial. If you're Clayton Kershaw, why are you doing that commercial? Oh, so I throw a pitch, and the guy hits it so far that I got to take a car and drive to catch it, even though it's out of the stadium, which technically would still be a home run. That's the commercial. Just saying. All right, moving on. So Jeff Luhnow, right before the World Series, why wouldn't he have his first public comments? Why wouldn't he have them right now? The Houston TV station where he was talking about basically his Astros legacy, which is you're a cheater. You oversaw it and you cheated, and the Astros are cheaters and nobody loves the Astros anymore. And you'll never get a job in baseball again. Jeff Luhnow, however, continues to deny.
If I go through all of my behavior, all of my actions, they're consistent with someone that tells the truth, and they're also consistent with someone that didn't know. I did a lot to try and prevent us from doing anything wrong. After the Red Sox and the Yankees were punished in 2017, I had a conversation with our manager, and I asked him if anybody in our dugout was using Fitbits or Apple Watches or anything that would be remotely considered against the rules. He told me that one of our coaches had been using an Apple Watch, but after the incident with the Red Sox, had stopped wearing it because clearly we weren't supposed to be doing that. He did not tell me anything else about trash can banging or any impropriety.
I know nothing. I mean, come on, man. First of all, keep the Yankees out of your mouth. When the Yankees were punished, stop it. You know, don't start throwing other. Well, everybody else was. See, that's what you were doing. You're doing the whole everybody else was doing it thing. But I didn't know anything. I don't know anything. It's what do they say about coaching? I love this phrase, right? If you're not teaching it, you're allowing it to happen. It's happening underneath. How bad of a leader? I tell you what. Here's the thing about Jeff Luhnow that my response would be to him if you're interviewing him and he says this. Is you basically say, okay, so you want to be a general manager, which is basically the leader of a franchise, and you're admitting that something this scandalous was going on while you were in charge and you had no idea? What the hell kind of leader are you then? And why would I want to hire you to run my baseball operations when you didn't know that was happening right under your nose? So how good, how aware are you as a leader if you had no idea this was going on, or I told them not to do it? This goes back to, like this is a few good men happening all over again, right? Who ordered the code red, you know? This kind of thing. Well, they take things upon themselves. Wait a minute. You just said they follow rules or people die. So you're telling me that you were in charge, but not really in charge. Then I don't really want you running my franchise anymore. I'm sorry. Why wouldn't you just admit it and say it was a mistake and move on? I'd be more impressed if you broke down the whole thing. This is how we did it. I thought it was pretty genius. We got caught. Our mistake. Never happened again. At least I'd be impressed with, like, how much thought and detail and preparation you put into it. Instead, you're just going to deny? Now, Rob Manfred must have loved the fact that Jeff Luhnow decided that he was going to break his silence now, right before the World Series. Of course he is. Let's bring this story back, because Rob Manfred has enough to deal with. So he went on KJZ this morning, and he had this response.
The 22,000 electronic messages that Jeff talked about over and over again were a fraction of the evidence in the case. There was a lot of other evidence, electronic, testimonial, which indicated Jeff's culpability in this matter. Secondly, whether he exactly knew what was going on or not is really beside the point. After the Apple Watch incident, I wrote to all the GMs. I put them on notice that it was their obligation to make sure that their organizations were not violating any of the sign-stealing rules. I think it's pretty clear from the facts that Mr. Luhnow failed to discharge that obligation. He damaged the game, and as a result, he was disciplined.
I mean, it's like him talking about how the 22 text messages that he got access to, he said that it clearly shows the scope of the cheating and exonerates him from the wrongdoing. And Manfred's like, yeah, it's a lot more than just text messages, my man. It's just, what a terrible story for baseball. And even worse that, of course, Luhnow has to bring this stuff up now, right before the World Series. Let's remind everybody again of how tainted this whole thing looked just a year ago. But the Astros still got away with so much. And so many people that were involved never got punished. Amazing. Well, we'll see what happens in the World Series, which begins tonight. And we have full coverage right here on 98.7 ESPN. World Series game one tonight, Rays and the Dodgers. And as we mentioned, the whole Lunau thing and the bad timing of it, we did that in audio files, and Manfred responding to what Lunau had to say. Now, Manfred also did talk about some other stuff when he was on, let me find it now, I just had it, on KJZ earlier this morning. And just talking about the sport in general. And, you know, there was some interesting other things that just didn't have to do just with the Lunau stuff. He praised the players for going 51 days without a positive test. Like I said, you remember, for baseball, it got dicey there with the Marlins and whatever they did at Magic City. I'm sorry, Atlanta, when they had that stop over there. With the St. Louis Cardinals had that issue. That kid from the Indians also going out doing whatever he wanted. People got mad at him. He had some issues there. They had to answer the challenge also of Toronto not playing in Toronto, in Buffalo. So he had all that. So he was really happy about the fact that they have gone now well over almost 2 months without a positive, and that they've gotten that under control. And they go into the bubble, and they've done a nice job. I mean, the games have been interesting. No crowd, whatever. You know, but still, at least they've been able to get through this and come to a championship round now with a crown of champion. Just anything else here that I'm just reading real quickly as well. Limited number of fans will be at this World Series. Keep that in mind. Be curious to see what kind of crowds they do get. And does want 162 games next season, but too hard to predict right now, because they'll see whether or not 2021 starts on time. And that's what I said. If you have the Super Bowl, which is supposed to be in February, obviously, will you have an NBA training camp, or will you be getting ready for spring training? Will either one of them be going on or not? Now, I'm seeing some stuff on social media about Steve Cohen. Apparently, the owners have approved the bid now, which is, I think, was the last stand, right? That was all that was left here. Sportico is reporting this to the
ownership committee. Can't wait.
All right, so the ownership committee has approved the ownership for Steve Cohen. So that is done. Okay, so Cohen now is the owner of the team. I mean, this is pretty much it. He's the guy going forward. And I'll tell you what, if you're a Mets fan, it's exciting, because now you see he's going to heavily invest, the reports say, in analytics, in revamping the entire department, bringing it up to date. And I'm telling you right now, what comes next, if you're the Yankees, you got to watch. Because here's a guy that's already expecting to lose almost $500 million in 2 years with this team, for all the things he's going to put into it. Not only what he just bought it for, but then what he's going to do over the next 2 years. He's already told people about $400 million he's expecting to lose with all that he's going to invest in his team. This could get real exciting, if you think about it, for baseball in New York. That'll be fun to see if these two teams now have to go head-to-head for free agents. So keep an eye on that story. I'm sure the K-Show will go deeper into it when they come on at 2:55. Before we go, let's take Kevin in Totowa. Kevin?
What's up, man? You know what? I just want to chime in on the Sam Darnold argument. You know, I think the plan that Bart put in place, and I know Keyshawn reiterated this week, it really does make the most sense to me. Go ahead and stockpile picks around a kid who's shown some talent, and believe it or not, looks like he wants to be in a place where, as we know, quarterbacks come to die. But knowing the Johnsons, knowing that they run businesses, not football operations, how do you pass up on Trevor Lawrence and a new head coach in a place where you desperately need to find a way to sell tickets? But if you want to talk football, you need to keep Sam Darnold. You trade the pick, and you can get two offensive linemen, a pass rusher, a corner, a wide receiver. And that's how, to your point, how Jimmy Johnson did it, that's how you build this thing sooner than later. But we know the Johnsons, they're going to want to make money. They're going to bring in Trevor Lawrence with a new head coach, and they're going to go try to sell some season tickets, man.
And you're starting all over again, though, Kevin. What your take is the logical take. It's not the emotional one, Kevin, and I appreciate that. It's just that's the way you got to think about it. That's what Bart and I have both been saying. I'm not trying to act like it's easy. It's not easy, all right? Because you might have a head coach in mind that's a guy that you think can be a star, and he might say, "I'm only taking the job if you guys are taking Trevor." Like, I'm that's the guy I want. Like, it might be like that. You don't know But if you see, this is one where I hired Joe Douglas. I gave him a 6-year contract. I got to trust him. And if this is what he wants, if he believes this is the way to go, I got to trust him that this is the way to go. But you could be passing on the, you know, your generation's Joe Montana or even Tom Brady or whatever it is. You could be. You don't know. But that's why you pay your scouts. That's why you believe in the people that run your organization. All right, we appreciate everybody for hanging out with us today. Bart will be back tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.